That's probably been a couple months ago now. And so he is with us tonight, and he's going to share his heart. And so would you just give him a welcome tonight, just a hand clap. Amen.
Is that better? There you go. Well, what I noticed about a lot of the prayers that were going on is they're about what I'm going to speak to you about tonight, and that is suffering. But not only suffering, but more so how to suffer well. So, if you'll hit the next picture, that's my family. They're all over the world now. Parents are in Chiang Mai. My youngest brother is also in Chiang Mai, and my sister in next picture. And we also adopted a five-year-old Thai boy just within this past month. And he's living with my parents full time, and it's been quite the process. So, next one, please. In my small group, this question was asked of me several months ago, and that question was, how do I suffer well? And before that time, I never thought about it that way before, it's a daily thing for me, and I just never dwelled on it. And me dwelling on that is what birthed this, what I'm going to share with you guys tonight. Next slide, please. I was born 24 years ago, and I was born with what's called DeGeorge syndrome. Next one, please. And you might be wondering, what is it? Part of my 22nd chromosome is missing. I've had 4 open heart surgeries. And I'm not going to sit here tonight and bore you with medical information. But if you want to, I'll tell you if you want to learn more later. Next one, please. So what does it mean to suffer? According to the dictionary, it means to experience or be subject to something bad or unpleasant. And according to the Greek, Greeking out, it means to suffer, endure, bear, tolerate, put up with it, suffer ail, or have a bad time, which I find funny because with what I'm going to share with you tonight, it'll give you a way to suffer and not have a bad time doing it. Next one, please. Suffering means the same. Next one. Whether you're Darth Vader, next one, or a peace-loving Ewok, it means the same all across the galaxy, I guess. Next one, please. This is my personal mindset on suffering. That is, God has written your story. Accept, then embrace. The 2 things you need to accept, then embrace. And so. Next one. The first point, God knowing your own story. John 1:3-5 says, And all things are made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot comprehend it. The Father, Jesus, the Holy Spirit were never created. And some are saying that the Lord has given me recently is, God created you on purpose for a purpose, and everything that happens to you happens for a purpose. Even the suffering, and I know you can't see it in the moment, but when you're out of it, you'll see what the purpose of it is. Next slide, please. Free will. According to Genesis 2:9, the Lord made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden, there was a tree of life and the tree of knowledge and good and evil. All of creation has free will. Not only does all creation have free will, you have the free will to choose how you're going to suffer. Next one, please. The definition of accept is to take upon oneself a responsibility, acknowledge that a situation exists. Next one, please. Now let's take a look at suffering more in depth. Accepting suffering is something anyone can do. However, the key is how you look at suffering, because you can either suffer well or not so well. Next one, please. Now, the story of Joseph and Jacob. Well, if you'll remember, Joseph's younger brother sold Jacob into slavery because their father, Jacob, Joseph was his favorite brother, obviously. Can you guys hear me? All right. Now let's look more in depth at Jacob. When Joseph's brothers later came to purchase food from Jacob when there was the famine, Joseph's father, Jacob, made Benjamin stay behind. The reason was because when he lost Joseph, Joseph was his youngest son at the time. And because Jacob lost his youngest son, Benjamin at the time was his youngest son. And he didn't want to lose Benjamin either. He didn't, the old saying, history repeats itself. He didn't want that to happen then. So Jacob was afraid of losing Benjamin because he never recovered from losing Joseph. Jacob just accepted his suffering, and in doing so, it defined him. Next one. Embrace is an act of accepting or supporting something or a situation willingly or enthusiastically. And it's not hard. It is hard to accept suffering enthusiastically. I'll tell you that right now. But next one, please. But embracing suffering means that it begins with accepting suffering, because you can't embrace suffering without first accepting it. You can't embrace without first accepting. There's no way around that. Those who embrace suffering don't let their suffering define them, because if you just accept it, it'll define you for the most part. Jesus is a perfect example of this, because he, not only did he embrace the cross, he became sin for us. So, and then that's how he's our perfect example. And embracing suffering involves letting God have all the glory, giving God all the glory, no matter what happens. And that's the really hard part, no matter what happens, because there's been times in my life where I just kind of been in the suffering, maybe not mode, but I've just been just kind of focused on that, is what I'm trying to say. You don't focus on your suffering, focus on giving God all the glory with the suffering, and You have to embrace the suffering in order to do that. Now let's go back to Joseph. And Joseph accepted and embraced his suffering because his attitude was the exact opposite of his father, Jacob. Embracing suffering means to not make what your embracing suffering means to not make suffering what defines you. You can't let it define you, because if you let it define you, more than likely God can use you for his glory, but you can use it more effectively if you embrace your suffering. You need to realize, like Joseph did, that God has a plan for you and what you're going through. Nothing happens on accident, in my opinion. Now let's fast forward to Genesis 50:20. This is after Pharaoh has died. Joseph is second in command in Egypt. And his brothers think that Joseph wants some revenge for what happened to him all those years ago. And he says this, which is interesting. "Don't you see you planned evil against me, but God used those same plans for my good, as you see all around you right now, life for many people." Next one, please. This is my journal entry that I wrote down on May 20th of this year as I was preparing for the sermon. What the enemy or others means to bring down suffering upon us, God will use it for him and his glory. It is only when we learn to accept and embrace suffering that God can use us despite our suffering. God wants to use vessels that are willing to both pursue God and be pursued by him, and a vessel that is willing to be used by him to lead others to Jesus. No matter how depressing or racketh hardships your personal scale on earth is, remember this. We pursue and were created by a very personal God. Next slide, please. Since we are created by a personal God, he wants us to embrace our story, just as Jesus embraced the cross. When we become really vessels to be used by him, then and only then will he use us to bring others to Jesus and fulfill Genesis 50:20. Next one, please. Philippians 4:11-13 says, "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned, in whatever state I am in, to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, to both abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me." Next one, please. And there are two main things you need to accept and embrace your suffering, and that is compassion and mercy. And there's a movie clip from The VeggieTales that wouldn't talk to you. So next one, please.
Helpful to illustrate with a little story.
A story?
Yep. themselves the pirates who don't do anything. But that's not entirely accurate.
Oh, yeah. Remember when we did that one thing with that one guy?
Oh, do I ever.
I remember it like it was yesterday.
Yep, it sounded like God wanted to offer Moisey to the Ninevites.
The tow truck's on its way. You know, Junior, I love your dad and all, but that's the last time I pick him for a co-pilot. What's going on?
We're telling a little story. You should listen, too.
As I was saying, it sounded like God wanted to offer mercy
to Jonah's enemy.
What's mercy?
It's what this whole story is about.
I thought it was about compassion. Remember? The menu?
Yeah. Well, there's that, too.
Better check your menu again. We got two specials today, and they go hand in hand.
Compassion is when you want to help someone who needs help. Mercy is when you give someone a second chance, even if they don't deserve it. This story is about both of them.
That's right, my cucumber friend. You can't have Moisey without compassion. But Moisey is even more important. Jonah was afraid God was going to give Nineveh a second chance, and that he was going to help them, even though they didn't deserve it.
So, what did he do?
Well, never before had he gotten a message from God that he didn't want to deliver. He didn't know what to do.
So I don't know if you noticed, there's a market for compassion and mercy. Now, I don't know the going weight, but I'm sure you can go on eBay and figure out what it is. Next one, please. Here's a brief look at the compassion and mercy from Jonah and a brief, very brief summary of it. He, as you can see, God told you to go to Nineveh, but you didn't want to go. And he went on a pirate ship. And then God sank a whale and he went to Nineveh. So God is showing Jonah compassion and mercy. And at the same time, using him to show compassion and mercy. The first time, God used the whale and maybe some scampi to transport Jonah close to Nineveh. The second time, God used Jonah to show compassion and mercy on Nineveh. It goes both ways in that story and in us. Now let's look at sowing, which is a big part in suffering. And the Lord wants to use you where you are, both in your life and where you live. God can use all of your story, which includes your suffering. Because suffering molds your character, and that is a big part of who you are. God can use all of your story to inspire others and to lead others to Jesus. Matthew 3:3-18 says, "What do you make of this? A farmer planted a seed, and he scattered the seed. Some of it fell on the road, and the birds ate it. Some of it fell on the gravel, and it sprouted quickly. But again, it put down roots. So when the sun came up, it withered just as quickly. Some fell on the weeds, and as it came up, it was strangled by the weeds. Some fell on good earth and produced a harvest beyond his wildest dreams." Next one, please. You're always sowing into others, whether you like it or not. You're either sowing one or two things, and they are the things of yourself and your nature, and the things of Jesus into the lives of others. To sow the work of God in the presence of the Lord requires that you accept and embrace your suffering. Let's briefly summarize what I've talked about tonight. By accepting, then embracing your trials and tribulations, which are your suffering, you define them rather than let them define you. In order to suffer well, you need these three things: accept and embrace, compassion and mercy, and so. Thank you.
suffering will. Spoken by one who could teach us a lot of lessons, I'm sure. It's important that we don't let our issues define us, isn't it? And it's so easy to do. It's so easy to do. I sure don't mean to make an object of Judah, but it would be so easy for him to let his issues define him. And yet they don't. Instead, he turns it around and uses it for God's glory. If you don't know it, some of you may know it, Judah is not even supposed to be alive today. But by God's grace and by God's mercy, he is. And he's had a purpose for Judah all these many years. And I seen his mom and dad just a few months ago at Piology here in town. And they're on the other side of the world doing work over there now. And Judah's here with his grandparents that we're so glad to have tonight as well. But keep Judah, keep his family in your prayers. Judah, we enjoyed that so much. If nothing else, an encouragement to us all, for sure. Stand with us tonight. It's been good to be in God's house today. Amen. Aren't you thankful for the Spirit of the Lord this morning? And in the encouraging word tonight, Judah, again, thank you. Very thankful. Father, we love you. Thank you for the privilege of being in your house today. God, as we go out this week to our workplaces, wherever we may be, let us keep you in the forefront of our mind and our hearts, doing our best to mature and to be what you'd have us to be. Go with each and every one. Lead, guide, and direct. Touch those that are sick. Protect those who are affected by all of the rain, and we know that you will do that. Give us a good week. We'll be careful to give you all the praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. See you Wednesday night.